I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 53. Everybody hear me okay? All right, good. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 12. Lord, I pray, God, your anointing to rest on me, Lord, as I share this word, and on every ear to hear, Lord, that our hearts would be enlarged to receive, God, that we would leave this meeting today closer to you, Lord, more full of your spirit, God, than we've ever been. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 53, 1 through 12. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. I think we can all identify with that. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Praise God. I suppose there is no portion of Old Testament scripture that is as messianic as this portion in Isaiah 53. I don't know if it's really true or not, but they say that some of the rabbis forbid this portion of scripture to be read in some of their meetings. I don't know if that's true or not, but I guess some of them believe that that's just talking, Isaiah's talking about himself, or that he's talking about the nation of Israel. But we know that Jesus fulfilled this verse. He spoke very accurately and very clear about him. And all of the scholars of our age, of course, agree with that. But the Bible confirms it. The New Testament confirms it for us through the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading this portion of scripture when Philip came alongside his chariot, came running alongside. And he asked, this is in Acts 8, 32 through 35. It says this, the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare this his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man. You know, some of the struggles we have in New Testament prophecy is some of us get really adamant about end time stuff. No, this means this. But sometimes you really don't know until it happens. And this eunuch, he didn't really understand who Isaiah chapter 53 is talking about. But Philip, it says, opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. It's so easy to look back and say, yes, this is about the Almighty Lord Jesus. And all of us in here believe that this morning. Praise God. But what I want to focus on in this message this morning is the second verse. Again, I'm just going to read it. It says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. So I have two points of focus this morning. One is the root and the other is dry ground. So it's where it says he shall grow up, that's talking about Jesus. And then where it says before him, that's God Almighty, the Father. So Jesus is going to grow up before the Father. Jesus is the root. Revelation 22, verse 16, verifies that. And it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Romans 15, 12 says something similar. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall have hope, or the Gentiles shall hope. So Jesus, he was born, as we know, of the lineage of Jesse, the offspring of King David, and Jesse was King David's father. Jesus was born of Jewish heritage, but praise God, he wasn't just the savior of the Jews who mostly rejected him, but he's the savior of the Gentiles. If it wasn't for that, we would not be here this morning. We'd be lost. But he loved us, Gentiles, us non-Jewish. And if there's some Jewish people in here, praise God, you're double blessed. Because you get blessed for being a Jew and you get blessed for being a child of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that he called us to be children. You know, a lot of people say, well, we're all God's children. And it says, no, we're not all God's children. We're all God's creation. But only those that are born again are his children. Praise God. He's invited us into the kingdom, to the family, the household of faith. Praise God. And the more we understand it's a household, the more our love will grow for one another. And the more our love grows for one another, we'll get it. This really indeed is a household. It really truly is a family of God. It really means something when you call someone a brother, not just by a title, but by a heart of love. Or you call someone a sister out of a heart of love. Praise God. So one thing about a root is that whatever the root is, of course, is that's what the tree will be. That's what the plant will be. And this root of Jesus started out as a babe and grew to be a perfect man who was pleasing to his heavenly Father. The only perfect root ever planted. Romans 11, 16 through 18. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. Here's what I like. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? You were made holy the instant you repented. You were made holy and righteous. You would have died. You could have died the next second, and you would have went into heaven known as a holy man, as a holy woman of God, just like that. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And you can ponder on this. and think about it. What can you do to make yourself holy? And you think about it, you'll come up with this conclusion, nothing. Because he makes you holy. Or you can defile your holiness. You can live an unholy life. But you can't do anything to make yourself holy. He does it. Praise God. He's the root. He's the holy root. Praise God, us Gentiles have been grafted in. Them Jews gave up that. They disconnected from the vine, and hallelujah, we get to connect to him. Praise God. And then we can live a holy, righteous life simply because we get to draw from the root. And that's what a root does. It does three things. First thing it does is it absorbs water. The second thing it does is it absorbs minerals. And that water and the minerals, that root takes it to the plant and gives life. That's why sometimes when you cut, you can cut a few roots away from a tree, but if you cut too many, what happens? The tree dies because it cannot send the moisture and it cannot send the minerals to that plant or that tree anymore, and the tree dies off. And the third thing that roots do is they anchor the plant. So the root of Christ in us sends the water, the Holy Spirit, as was prophesied this morning. Matt gave that word about the Holy Spirit and the water. And the root of Christ sends that water to our through our spiritual man. And the root of Christ sends the nutrients we need, the nature and the character of Christ. The roots sends that through us. Sometimes we like, will I ever quit being envious? Will I ever quit being bitter? And I want to say to you, yes. Let the root send patience to you. Let the root send love to you, that you can like love someone that has cursed you, and you'll scratch your head in amazement, like, how could I do that? I would have been ready to knock that person out, but now I have this love for them, and I actually feel bad for them that they have such hatred in their heart. You can live this life because the root of Christ is in you. And the root of Christ is sending those things, those nutrients, to you to make you a strong, holy, and righteous plant. And because we're rooted in Christ, there's no devil that can blow you over, no big bad wolf that can huff and puff and blow the house down. You cannot do it because we're anchored in Jesus, the roots. You know, I mean, you've seen some, you know, what they say about roots. Sometimes the roots are almost as big as the tree is up above. And it just, that wind blows, some branches get broken off once in a while, some leaves get blown off. We suffer some damage once in a while as believers, but we just heal because God just keeps on sending those nutrients, sending that water through us, and we heal and we actually become stronger. Sometimes it's just him pruning us, so we can even produce more. So the only way for the devil to stamp out your life in Christ is to destroy the root. Okay? But he can't destroy the root because the root is Jesus. It's impossible to destroy the root. But what he can do is try to destroy your faith. And if you notice, like, how often we talk about it in our churches and stuff, about our faith being challenged. The devil is always challenging your faith. That's why James says that our faith is being tested. Our faith is always being tested because our faith needs to keep on growing. We keep on needing to keep our faith on the root. As soon as you start thinking you're something, then your faith starts suffering, and all of a sudden you take some attacks on you, and then again you got to come back to reality like the prodigal, like, I just got to get back to my father. I just got to get back to the root. And what modern Christianity does and modern religion does is complicated Christianity so much. All of the smart boys of religion. They have all of these things that confuse you, and then you got to go to their seminars and buy their books to work you through the mess that's out there, when all you have to do is put your faith back on Jesus. Put your faith back on the root and let the root do in you what it's intended to do. Praise God. Every healthy plant, every healthy tree when you leave here is healthy because the root under it is healthy. If there's a tree out there, the leaves are starting to die, you can bet those roots aren't too healthy. Praise God, our roots are always healthy. Amen. If the problem is never him, ever. Hallelujah. But there's another way the devil can destroy us and try to plant another root in us. Plant a root of bitterness. Plant a root of envy. Plant a root of impatience. And he can use these things to overcome us. Again, our faith must be back in Jesus. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Remember I said you can't do anything to make yourself holy? But you can do something to defile yourself. You can let a root of bitterness. You can let a root of judgment. You can all let all of the different deeds of the flesh, those take root in your life and overcome your life. But the root of Jesus is always healthy and is always there if we put our faith back in him. Our relationship with the Lord always goes back to the root. We can never be severed from the root. We just have to always be grounded with the root. Matthew 13:20-21. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. So it sounds like just a genuine salvation going on here. Got the joy of the Lord. They're excited. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately stumbles. So having no root in himself means that person never let the seed take root. Never let the seed get really down into their heart so it could start to grow and bring forth precious fruit. God is a fruit inspector. And he goes, and even Jesus himself wanted to pick some fruit. And so Jesus is very concerned about our fruit. So every time you seek the Lord, and every time you open your heart to the Lord, the seed has taken deeper root in your life. Every time you read, and every time you pray and you do these with sincerity, not just out of obligation. You know, I did that so many years. I don't look back in shame or anything, but committing myself to read through the Bible every year. Sometimes I just read, you know, I don't even know what I read. Just read it to get it done. And sometimes it so grabbed me, I could hardly put it down and anything in between. But nonetheless, when you read it with the desire to be changed by it, when you read it with the desire to obey it, when you read it as a desire to honor God, that root is going deeper. It's taking stronger root in your life. So know that every man or woman of God, just like every healthy tree, every healthy plant that you see out there that's really growing and really flourishing, has a strong, healthy root. Understand every man and woman of God that you respect is because the root of Christ that's in them. They don't get the glory for it. He does. Praise God. All they did was keep their faith in him and let the root do what he's supposed to do. And live out the life that we read about in the Word of God. So we talked about the root. Now I want to talk about dry ground. And dry ground speaks of a condition that surrounds the root. That what is around the root. Any farmer will tell you that there will be no crops if he plants his seed and it never gets any rain. It'll never grow. I mean, we all know that. That's a no-brainer. It was about four decades ago, we had a drought in Wisconsin, worse than we've had this year. And I remember being a deer hunter, they wouldn't even, some of the counties, they had hunting closed because they didn't even want hunters in the woods. Like if there were smokers or something and ashes, you know, they throw a cigarette and they didn't want it to start a fire. That's how dry it was. But I remember it was in August, we got this really beautiful, sweet rainfall that fell in the state of Wisconsin. And they were, back then when the news was really news, you know, they went and interviewed, talked to some farmer west of here out in, you know, west in Waukesha County or one of the other counties. And they said that they could hear his corn. He had stalks of corn. He could actually hear it popping, not like in the, not when you cook it in a pan, that kind of popping, but he could hear like almost like the groanings, the sounds of the from the corn stalks. You could actually hear it just boom, making these noises because they were starting to just suck that water up so fast because they'd been so dry that it actually made music to his ears. So, you know, there was 400 silent years from the Old Testament, end of the Old Testament, till Jesus was born. And it could have looked like God's promise of Israel being a leading nation was never going to happen. Hope was dying of a ruler coming out of Israel. The Israelites were promised all of these blessings. If you remember in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I'm just going to read a few of them here. It says, blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. But this was not happening. They were under Roman occupation. Rome has taken control over, had authority over them. So this is the kind of condition. It wasn't anything like Deuteronomy, the first third of Deuteronomy's blessings that was supposed to be on Israel. This is the kind of condition when the root, Jesus Christ, came. It was a dry land. It was a weary land. And he came to an earth that was full of people who were hostile to him. Kind of sounds like that today a little bit, doesn't it? It's sure getting like that. At 2 years old, he was being hunted down to be murdered. There was a continual plotting of his death by the elite and the noble of this world. He was rejected by the religious crowd. In the very early stages of his ministry, Jesus read from Isaiah, and he spoke a few words, and the crowd was ready to throw him off a hill. And a point was made clear right off the bat when Mary brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in those swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger. Why? Because there was no room for him. So Jesus was never welcomed from the beginning. If there was ever a root in dry ground, Jesus was it. But praise God, Jesus is not an ordinary root. He can grow anywhere. Praise God. He was born a king, but the world did not provide a palace for him to be born in. You may consider the life of Jesus to be relatively short, and when you figure his ministry is only about 3.5 years, and then he was crucified, it really adds a shortness to his time here. But the Father was in charge. The Father was in control. God, our Father, determined that Jesus' time was sufficient on this planet. Jesus finished what he came to do, and the Father brought him home to sit at the right hand of the Father. Now he's there interceding for us as we're here ministering for him. Praise God. The Father left behind a witness and I'm looking at it. And you're looking at it. Here we are 2,000 years later. We are a witness of that root. That root is still growing. That root still wants to grow. That root grew in dry ground because God meant for the root to grow. God wants that root to grow in us. We should be fertile ground, right? The world wasn't ready for Jesus. Our society is not interested in the root of Jesus, but I'm looking at people that have fertile soil. At least we're supposed to. That root should be able to come in and do some radical growing in us. The more open we are, the more serious we are, the more dedicated we are, the more that root can take, grab a hold and bring forth growth in us. And we can look at some giants in the faith in here. You might never have to topple a giant or call fire down from heaven, but you can have strong faith and grow and be exactly everything Jesus, everything God has meant you to be because of the root. We are in a dry environment, no doubt. Psalm 63:1 says, it's a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. That didn't keep David from wanting the Lord, wanting to be satisfied. And God is our source of water. Psalm 105:41, he opened the rock and water gushed out. It ran in the dry places like a river. Praise God. We can never use dryness as an excuse, ever. Because God will open a rock. God will give us water in a dry and weary land. Psalm 107:35, he turns the wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. Hallelujah. Isaiah 41:18, I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Praise God. That's what God wants. You know who he's going to use to do that? You. You're going to be the water. You're going to be the well that can make a difference out in this dry environment out there because the root of Christ is in you. Praise God. I'm talking about me as well. Understand. Jesus said, whoever drinks of the water he gives will never thirst again. Praise God. That we had a Jeremy Proska when he's here. He preached the message several years ago. I don't know how long had Justin and Jackie married. So 12, 13 years ago about he preached you never thirst again, and she got saved because she kept on thirsting, kept on looking for something to satisfy, and she found out it was Jesus. And she let the root come in and save her. Praise God. And then my son married her. So it doesn't matter what the environment is around you. Did you get that? I want to say that again. It does not matter what the environment is around you. I'd like to have a nice environment around me, but it doesn't matter. So this is the main point I want to get to. Just as Jesus the Messiah was born in an environment that 400 years of silence, Roman occupation, he was born in an environment that was hostile to him. So too, we the church are born in that same environment. It is no different out there. It's a world that wants to vomit Christ out of it. People that are my age, they could tell you like back 50 years ago what society was like. It was unbelievable. The idea of like, you kind of like, if people live together, you're like shocked. Like, you just never heard of that. Now more people live together, I think, than get married. Things like this. It's amazing what's happened, but this world hates Christ. So Jesus said it so plainly in John 15:18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So you're in good company. Praise God. You're hated like he was. If you have anything in common, and you're hated because of him, rejoice in that instead of be sad. And John 15:20, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. In John 13:13, and way too often the church does marvel. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. And I hear people on the radio yelling, oh, those, you know, people this and people that. And I'm like, quit marveling. The Bible tells us that we're going to be hated. We don't like these scriptures, but they do let us know we are in good company. Though we may be in a hostile environment, we still are surrounded by the presence of the Lord. He is indeed the air that we breathe. Praise God. John 15:25, but this happened that the word might be fulfilled with which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. And that is really one of the hardest things to do. You talk to someone in love and they hate you. And then we're supposed to love them, you know, and show love to them. And it's a hard thing to do when we're loving them. But through this root of Christ, we will actually have the ability to love those who hate us. We're just going about our business and we're doing the best to show love and kindness, but in return we receive hate. Well, that's what Jesus did. So John 20, verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So again, we have to go out in this environment that is not conducive to Christianity because Jesus has sent us. So here we are, a root in dry land. We know there's a famine of the word in our country. It's amazing. I don't know if there's a nation on earth that you can buy so many Bibles and so many versions. Now you can get them on your phones and your electronic devices. We are saturated with the ability to read the Word of God, but yet there's a famine in our land because no one really reads the Word of God. And if they do, it's just a little bit here, a little bit here with no desire for it to do anything in their life. So there's a famine in the land. There's an increasing hatred brewing in the hearts of people. But the Bible says in the last days that love of many will grow cold. We've certainly seen that back in the last administration. I've never seen so much hate towards one person in my life. Hatred is brewing. Atheism is on the increase. You and I know there is no such thing as an atheist. It just says a fool has said in their heart there is no God, but it doesn't say a fool believes in their heart. They really know there's a God, but they just say there's not. But there's an increase on this anyway. And there are many who mock God today. Evil is on the increase. Our nation is falling apart. And we struggle at times not knowing how to respond. Well, if we should get involved in politics or not, or how much, and all of these different things. I can't stand here and tell you I know the answer to all of that and what you should do. But one thing we can be certain of is that God wants his church to grow in this dry environment, in this dry land. God wants us to know that the church can and must grow in this dry and weary land. We can grow because the root in us goes back to that. We can grow because the root in us is meant to grow, and it will grow. It will grow no matter what the environment is around us. It's impossible to stop the root from growing when Christians continue in faith. It automatically happens. Even though this world is not accommodating to the man or woman of God, this root will grow. I love America. I don't want to see America fall. Every time I sing that America the Beautiful song, I always choke up. Because I think of the beautiful land, the country God gave us, and how our nation's spitting back in God. But this is so important. If you hear anything, you got to hear this. We don't need America to be righteous. We don't need this nation to be righteous for the church to grow. You get that? We want it to be, but it does not need to be righteous for the church to grow. The church don't need help from the world to grow. That root will grow by faith. The church can grow in the face of hatred and persecution. I think often it grows better sometimes. As the Father brought growth and security to his Son, who is the root of our redemption, he too will bring growth and security to his church. The church must not allow herself to be overcome by this age. We're actually the answer. We're the answer for them. I mean, where will they go? That's why you need to be careful how you talk to people right now. Sometimes we want to get a little smart aleck. Smart-alecky or a little cocky or something, people. And I'm trying to remember, like, one day that person's going to need to know the answer for the hope that is in me. And I don't want to burn any bridges. I'm not talking about compromise, but just be careful how we talk to the unsaved, because if we just harden them against us when they really need the church, they're not going to come to it. So we need to be alive. We need to be full of God. We need to be full of Christ. We need to be full of the Spirit. So when this nation starts plunging into darkness, they know where they can go. You'll be the first one they think of. Oxonal Church, that church down the street, that church around the corner. I know they got something there. I got to get there. I got to find out. Amen? So we are the answer. We are the hope for this age. It's not us, it's him in us, of course. God, Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit on your descendants and my blessings on your offspring. All these scriptures that I've read, you see that it matters not if the ground is dry. It matters not if the environment is not conducive. He will pour it out. He will pour out his Spirit. He will pour out water on the thirsty. Hallelujah. That root will grow. That's all that root needs is some water. God will meet our needs in the time of drought and in the time of famine. And we are the offspring. Paul said they are not all Israel who are of Israel. So there's a lot of Jews in this world, but they're not really Israel. You and I are more Israel than they are. We don't have Jewish blood through our veins, but we have the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. That's our claim. We're blood brothers and sisters. Amen. One more scripture here before I bring this, wrap this up. Maybe Chris, you want to come up and whatever your worship team, whatever, want to just come up. I just want to read a verse out of Isaiah chapter 37, verses 31 and 32. Many years ago, back in 2006, I started to get a vision for what we call God's remnant people. Basically, all a remnant Christian is a real deal, the real Christian, the real believer, not just a churchgoer, not even someone that's so faithful to church and they do all this and do all that, but they've never been born again. They don't really know God. They don't really have a desire. God, there's a lot of people that say they're Christians, but after many, many times of watching them, you never see a desire for God. And I wonder, are they really a Christian? But a remnant believer has a desire and has a passion for God. They have a desire to live for God. They have a desire to read and pray. Not always. Sometimes we have to discipline ourselves, and maybe many times, but we do that because we know what we need in our lives. But God showed me that there's these kind of believers scattered all over Wisconsin, and many of them are discouraged. Many of them are seeking God. Many of them are faith. They're in a dead place, but they're faithful to God, and like hoping God brings some life to the church, and there's a variety of attitudes out there. But the Lord gave me this scripture, and Isaiah 37, 31, and 32. And so we traveled all around, like 20 different cities for several years, trying to just find these remnant believers, and I'd share a couple messages with them, and my son Aaron would share a message and just try to stir them to, like, just get to know one another in their community, and maybe the Lord would raise up somebody to pastor, or different things, different hopes that we had that God would do. But the scripture says, and the remnant who escaped of the house of Judah. I like to say it this way, and the remnant who have escaped the church system shall again take root downward. That's the first step. You have to take root downward and bear fruit upward. When the roots go down, the fruit goes up. Praise God. I hope you're encouraged by that. I want you to be encouraged by that, that root of Christ that's in you. Keep your faith. Stay in your word. Stay in fellowship. Seek God. Let your prayer be more than a prayer list. I don't mean to criticize a prayer list. I have one. But let your prayer be communion with God. Talk to him. Talk to him out loud if you have to. Maybe he'll answer you back out loud. Sometimes he doesn't ever talk back out loud because nobody ever talks to him out loud. I don't know. But talk to him and know him. Get a passion for him. And it says, so you'll again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem, out of the church, shall go a remnant, and those who escape from Mount Zion. And who will do it? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. We keep our faith in him, or keep our trust in him. Watch what he does with us. It'll be an amazing thing. We'll look at one another and say, boy, you are looking really fruitful this morning. I feel like picking from you. And have something for somebody to pick from. Somebody that's needing some spiritual energy. Grab a nice ripe peach and get some sugar in their system. Praise God. So if you feel your growth has been stunted, you just really, really haven't allowed the root of Christ to really grab a hold of you, really get settled in you, really dig its roots down in you and get established, I want you to just come up here and seek the Lord to finish off this service. If you fear what's happening in America and it's struck fear in you, then come up here and let the root of Christ get settled in you and help you understand you belong to a kingdom that's unshakable, unmovable. Doesn't matter what happens in this world, the kingdom we belong to cannot be shaken and it cannot be moved. That's the kingdom we belong to. Amen? Praise God. Oh, boy, we get all that just because the root of Christ is in us. What an awesome thing. If you have wondered if you can survive this generation, be certain of this. The root will. Nothing can take the root out. The root will never get diseased. No one will ever lop off too much of this root of Christ. It is stable. It is solid. Just let it take root in your life. So if you'd like to renew your faith this morning, you've tried to somehow gain some kind of favor with God, just come back to the reality. It's faith in him is what pleases God. Amen. And of course, you will live in obedience. You have to live in obedience to that faith. Faith without works is dead, of course. But sometimes we try to do the works and we've drifted away from faith. So if you just need to renew your relationship with the Lord, come on up here as we sing this. Chris will lead us in a song here.
So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more.